so we suffering. But you know, it's life, and none of us is growing younger.
At the same time, even if we grow older, we grow wiser. We come closer to the Lord, and we start to trust Him in many aspects of our life. When we were young, we didn't have that, you know, wisdom. We heard this morning about the need of peace. We heard this morning about the plan of God sending His Son. And you know what? We heard about some shepherds going to see a small baby, a powerless baby wrapped in cloth. That is the gift of God for us. It came in a manger, not in a palace. Came in a manger. I want to read from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Next slide, please. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are not longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you almost a heir. In this short passage, we have four things I want to share with you in a few moments. It is important to realize that those verses don't refer first about Christmas, but they talk about part of the work of Christ. And what is important in this passage is that we have here God's timing. It is a moment when we don't realize that actually God orchestrated everything in a certain way. So it just happened. No, it didn't happen. At the right, when the time had fully come. For us, time has a certain importance because we relate to it in a certain way. But for God, time is His instrument of salvation. It is His instrument for sending His Son in the world, and His instrument when each of us was saved. If we look back in the moments when the Lord made us understand the need of salvation and accepting Him as a personal Savior, you realize actually that was the best moment in our lives when we could be saved. Some of us were saved when we were children. I was saved when I was 7 years old. Others were saved later in life. And I heard people saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't accept Christ when I was younger." And I'm telling them, you know what? This is the best time. When the Lord just opened your mind and you could understand and accept Him. If you have people in your families that are not saved yet, pray for them that they will, at the right time, they will accept Christ as their personal Savior. It is so wonderful because God's timing is perfect. In the birth of Christ, we have the conditions were ripe for the spread of the gospel. who had political, social, economical, and spiritual conditions that they were perfect for the coming of Christ. First of all, it was so-called Pax Romana, the Roman peace through law and order. The Roman troops conquered the whole known world, and no one was without the permission of the Roman Empire. Even in the remote areas like in the Gaul region, or even in the northern part of England, Britain in that time, the Romans were conquering or controlled all the whole known world. They created the roads, the best roads. I used to live in Chicago, and to be honest with you, I hated the two seasons, the construction season and the winter season. Every time I drive in Illinois, I say, man, things never change. It's the same today as it was in that time. But you know what? When you have a good road, it's easier to go from a place to another, and you can spread the word of God a lot faster. Widespread use of the Greek language simplified communication. Everybody spoke the same language. We heard about ESL, and we know my wife teaches English as a ministry tool, and we understand how important it is to speak different languages. We were involved, and we still are involved, with the Ukrainian refugee ministry, and it was so hard to communicate with them. Some of them, they spoke a little English, but none of them spoke Romanian. And for this reason, it was hard to communicate with them. But praise the Lord for the 21st century apps. I have on my phone three or four different translation apps, and I can use those. I was able to communicate with everybody. But in that time, the Francois language was the Greek, and simplified communication. And also, including the Jewish religion and the other religions in the world, people were not satisfied with those. They needed something genuine, something that would bring them to trust the Lord, and to know, to grow spiritually. The second thing here is that God sent his Son. God, it was his plan. Not our plan, it's us as human beings. We are not aware of that, our spiritual need. Only God made us aware of what is going on in us. And he sent his Son, and he had the qualifications to bring salvation to human beings. We have the next one, please. Okay, because God sent his Son, he is 100% God, right? Jesus Christ. He also was born of a woman, that means he came like a full human being. And this is a mystery. So don't try to reconcile those two, because it's not possible. I know that theologians for centuries are trying to do that. And they are coming with the most interesting ideas, not to say, use another word. Coming as a human being, he was facing the same temptations and problems every human faces. Yeah, it's... I'm talking to my students, and I'm telling them about the deity of Christ and the humanity of Christ, and they are saying, you know what, for him was easier. Why? He was God. Yeah, but you know, he never used his deity to protect himself from not sinning. was his holy humanity, the desire to live in a way that no one lived. And we have to realize that actually for him was a lot harder than for us. When sin came to him, he was a lot more sensitive than I was. You know, it's like a baby that is coming closer to a flame. His skin suffers a lot more than me. And that was Jesus. For him, the flames of sin were a lot stronger than for us. And we have to understand that we have his righteousness, that but because, just because he loved us and he wanted to live us a holy life. He was born under law. He faced same expectations each person did. Yeah, he was a Jew. He lived like a Jew. He practiced the religion. He lived that religion. He had all the rituals done. But it's more than, ceremonial. It's about his living the law of God. He perfectly fulfilled God's law, being without sin, but he did this as a human being, tempted in all ways as we are. I want to remember this. Every time when you face sin and temptations, just remember, Jesus did the same. Then in this passage you have his deity, his humanity, and his righteousness that really worked for us to help us to be saved. The third thing is on his mission, the mission of the Son of God. That's good. We have three things here. Two related to redemption, and one, adoption. First, redemption is for those under the law. We have two aspects here, because it's the obligation to keep the law and the curse of the law for not keeping it. And that is one thing Christ saved us. But he came to do a lot more than this. He came to save us, those under the law of sin, because we were dead in sin. I know many people don't like that, right? So, man, I'm not dead in sin. I sin from time to time, but I'm not dead in sin. No, the Bible says that every human being is born dead in sin. And without the salvation in Christ, none of us will become sons and daughters of God. We have to realize that. But for some of you who may be too sensitive to death of sin, in verse 3, actually, we have enslaved to the elementary principles. We have here, so also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. What's that? The same word, the Greek word, we find it in the Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. These are the words, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of his world rather than on Christ. Human traditions and the basic principles of this world. Do you live like everybody else in the world? Or you have a Christian worldview, you have a biblical worldview. You know how to make the difference not between good and bad. That is very important, because many people can do that. But between the good and the best. Knowing how to live as God's sons and daughters of God in the way that really brings glory to God. And also, he came to receive to give us the adoption, enjoying the full rights of sons, we were adopted. In those days, if somebody was adopted, they had a very certain ritual to be adopted. And it was done in the way that everybody knew that that person is the son or the daughter of that man who adopted the child. We see in our text that actually, if you remember the tune, Godhead is involved in our adoption. We have Christ paying the price. We have the Father accepted us into his family. And the Holy Spirit was sent to indwell in us at the moment we became God's children. In that moment, we became his children, and the Holy Spirit came into our lives and empowered us to call God Daddy. It's the word Abba. Is a term of deep and intimacy to the father-child relationship. I remember when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I was really in love with God. I'm still in love with God. I love to call him Daddy. I grew up in a very emotionless family with a father that never showed his love for his children. Only when I was sick, I saw my father just kissing me on my forehead and praying for me. We used to pray every night as a family, but I never saw him with this kind of emotion. This kind of affection. And from that moment, I started to realize how much my father mimics God. How deep his love for the Lord and for me is. And I could understand that I have to show the same affection to my wife, to my children, and to people around me. It is a great thing to do. But because we are sons and daughters of God, we also became co-heirs with Christ. This is in Romans chapter 8. Now, if we are children, we are also co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I know we like the last part, but we have to take it. It's two-faced coin. You have suffering and glory. You can have one without the other. In the ministry, we are involved in a few things. And we do this because we love the Lord and also because we understand that God's free gift for us makes us responsible. He gave us the grace and the wisdom and the skills to do his work. And we have to do this faithfully. And I think that each of us, right, when we receive, after we receive the gift of God, we should start thinking how I should show my love for the Lord. How should I become involved in his service? And that happened with us many years ago. It's true that we are partners with this church for 28 years. Actually, I started to be part of this church with Adriana and our three daughters in my last year of master's degree at Moody. And then I was assigned to have an internship, and the brothers here were so grateful, gracious, and they accepted me, and I was able to start and to build up a relationship for so many years. We'll share a few things now about God's work in Romania. We'll be very fast because the time is almost up. These are the things we are doing, teaching at the Trinity Bible Institute, preaching and teaching in churches in Romania and Europe. radio and TV ministry conferences and seminars, counseling families in crisis and premarital counseling, mentoring young Christians, training leaders, helping Ukrainians during the Russian invasion. I will just tell you a few things about each of those. So I will ask my brother Ray to push faster the button. Thank you, brother. Next one, please. Our motto at TBI is 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust those in faith to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Our prayer and our search is for faithful men to share God's work and to be able to continue the ministry we started. And also Proverbs 9:9 is a very interesting verse because it tells us about the why the teaching helps people. Give instructions to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. Very, very good verse for each of us and to encourage everybody to study and to do God's work. Okay, Adriana teaches English as a ministry tool. We teach both in campus and remotely. Now, because we are here, we teach mostly remotely. We will go back to Romania and we'll continue teaching in campus. Because of the different waves of COVID, we can teach both at TBI. I'm also involved in doing teaching. I teach a few classes there, and I'm also the director for international relationships. This is the fancy name for fundraiser. You know. Somebody needs to do it. Yeah. I was talking with Dr. Boomen. He told me that, you know what, you are doing what I'm doing. I know, sir. I know. Yeah. We have graduates. Yeah, it's many, many. Actually, we just celebrated in the fall 30th anniversary, celebrating God's faithfulness. We have over 7 graduates from 12 different countries across Europe, more than 150 pastors, church leaders, and elders, more than 300 Sunday school teachers and educators teaching in private and public schools. Yes, in Romania we still continue to teach Christianity in the public schools up to 12th grade. Public evangelists and heads of radio and publishing ministries, translators working on the Bible and other Christian literature, church planters. We have started 73 churches, 22 in other countries and 15 in Romania. We have a strategy how to cover the unevangelized areas in both in Romania and outside. Missionaries in India, South Africa, and Turkey. And that is a blessing because we see that God, with very little resources and with a lot of creativity from our side, we are able to spread all over the world. We celebrated God's faithfulness having different speakers talking about different things. Yeah, it's one. The main speaker was Dr. Matthew. From Moody Bible Theological Seminary, and he had a very good job. He did a very good job. Yeah. We also teach in different and preach in different churches. Especially when they have an event or something, they will say, okay, Brother Wilson, can you come and teach this kind of stuff? You know, it's done all over the place, yeah. A radio and TV ministry, I have a weekly radio ministry, a monthly TV ministry. We met with different people that are involved in theological education from different religious backgrounds, and we talk about social and philosophical issues. And that, for me, it's a wonderful place to share Christ with people around me. I don't have to pay. You know, that if you want to do some ministry for some people, they ask you to pay for that spot. No, they ask me to go. And I say, praise the Lord, let's do it. Yeah, it is on the national and international TV station, and it is interesting because many people are responding to these messages. Actually, they stop me on the street and say, you know, I think that I saw you on TV or I heard you on the radio. Yeah, you do. Okay, mentoring. Okay. Adriana encourages younger women to be good wives and mothers, from Titus 2. It is wonderful because many, many women are blessed by her wisdom and her teaching. He has a sweet spirit and she can relate to people better than me. The guy that, okay, you have to do this and this and that. I'm not like that. I'm doing counseling. I have to be gentle and nice and empathic. But Adriana is better than me. Yeah. I also work with younger men. I mentor people. They come to me, they are interested in learning and growing. Adriana is working with women. You see on the side two young women with Adriana, and one of them is also there. She wanted me there too. But they had different personal issues and family issues. And the young lady on the right is she got married last summer, and she wanted to ask Adriana to help her to become a better wife. It's a good ministry and consuming ministry, but it's a blessing. In the middle, you see the couple that we are working with. The Lord just made them to come closer to Him. To a very difficult situation. The son got a virus when he was 9 months old, and they took all his blood out of his body and put a new blood in him. And his brain was dead for a few moments, and his right side is paralyzed. And they had difficult moments, and Adriana and I helped them to overcome it, and we are helping them to get better. We also do conferences and seminars. In the last few years, we had over 80 conferences and seminars, both in Romania and other European countries. Different topics. Many of them, they ask me to if I can teach a certain topic or a certain issue. It's good because people are willing to know and to grow. Conferences and seminars, also you saw some pictures there. Some were on Zoom, others were in person. It's not nice, it's not easy, it's very difficult when you teach on Zoom or you have conferences on Zoom. But people, you know, they learned to live with this hindrance, and they were able to follow us. Training leaders, we do a lot of training in churches and in different groups, teaching especially the elders and church leaders how to do church. One of my specialties is ecclesiology, church government. That means they ask me how to help them to understand the church better and how to do the ministry. I also teach pastoral theology, and that is, we are working together to help the people to know. And what happened this year, in February, you know that the Russians invaded Ukraine. A few days before that, TBI closed the dorms because a new wave of COVID came, and the government said, okay, shut down, you do everything remotely. We hate it because we love to be with the students and to meet with them and to talk with them. But they said, okay, what we should do? And on February the 24th, the Russians invaded Ukraine, and a few days later, thousands and thousands of Ukrainians started to come to Romania. And many of them, they didn't have any kind of documents, passports, IDs, especially for their small children. And they needed to come to Bucharest to go to the only place in Romania where they could have their papers stamped, the Ukrainian embassy. And we said, okay, we can help them with short-term housing. They need a few days to go to the embassy to get their papers and to go to another place. And our ministry had two phases. Phase one is helping the refugees in Bucharest, March to June. And the second phase, helping the people in Ukraine, June to December. And I promise you will continue because we it is a lot of a big need over there. In our dormitories, it's interesting, you know, that I was talking about God planning the right timing for Christ to come. He planned also in our lives the time to be able to teach and to help those people in need. During the COVID, I wrote a course on TBI and helping for TBI and helping the church during the crisis on my pastoral theology class. And we used that one. It's when the crisis came under a different shape as Ukrainian refugees. I also teach in the northern east part of Romania a course, a seminar on biblical counseling in time of crisis. And it was interesting because we used all those to help people in need. What we did, we the Lord helped us to house close to 300 refugees. More than 3,000 meals are served. Over 400 loads of laundry, especially of the small children, you can imagine that. We are able to give away more than 1,500 Ukrainian Bibles, New Testament, and Psalms. We were able to use that elevator. I don't know if you remember that, but for 3 years we tried to have an elevator at TBI. That's a six levels of building. It's huge, and the dorms are right on top of the penthouse. We treat well our students. And 3 days before the first group of refugees came, we got the approval to use the elevator. Guys, that is God's way of doing things. That it was overwhelming for us. We had a lot of people helping us, close to 40 people, volunteers, students, graduates, and other people from the church. They would help them and we pastored them to do the ministry. We also helped them by counseling and talking to people and helping them to know what is going on. It's interesting because everybody was younger than us, but us were older. And they started to call me the priest and Adriana, the wife's priest. And they asked me if they can come for confession. Sure, they could come and we were praying for them. You know, so many people were so blessed because they, for the first time, they told me somebody was praying for them. And that was wonderful. It is a great ministry. People came to be interested in God's work and willing to know Him. Okay, it's more to say. Let's go to the phase two, helping people in Ukraine. We are helping, we've helped 14 convoys with humanitarian aid to be sent to Ukraine on different locations. Right now, we are praying for a group of, some of them are my students, that in the southeast part of Ukraine, where the Russians were pushed away by the Ukrainians, and it's terrible. They live in cold and no water. And our people are going there with trucks full of medicine and personal items and basic food and water. People don't have water. Yeah, and we hope that the Lord will continue to bless. This is a few weeks ago in a church, the only functioning church in that part, in Kherson, is what, you know what, just push the button for the larger picture, please. I don't hear. It is a short video. No, it's not working. Oh, come on. Yeah. We had in that building, it's a 350, 400 people building, we had over 600 people back. And another over 200 people were outside. And you see those people that coming from outside to receive the humanitarian help from the church. It is a heartbreaking activity and a lot. Yeah. Oh, no sound. Man, okay. I'm disappointed. The next one, please. Yeah. And the last one, prayer requests. We have a lot of prayer requests. Please pray for us. We need to continue with your partnership with us. We need you, my friends. We thank you for your faithfulness and for helping us. But please pray for those things. We need a lot of people to pray for us and also to continue to support God's work in Romania and Europe. May the Lord bless you and help us to enjoy the gift of God sent to us and to become mimics of Christ, showing to people around us His love and His desire to be a blessing for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending Christ at the right timing, for sending Christ to save us from all sins and to give us the eternal life. We thank you for taking care of each of us and helping us to understand how important is the salvation for you and how important is salvation for us. We ask your blessings over each of us, people from here and people that are watching us on Zoom, to help each of us to enjoy the gift of God and not to reject it by hell. Help us to grow in trusting you and in becoming a blessing for people around us as you became a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.